Okay, let's turn to Proverbs chapter 19, please. We're willing to finish off this chapter today. So if you're physically able to, I'd ask that you stand for the reading of God's Word. We're going to read verses 25 to 29. That's Proverbs chapter 19, verses 25 to 29. I'll read if you'd follow along. Smite a scorner, and the simple will beware, and reprove one that hath understanding, and he will understand knowledge. He that wasteth his father and chaseth away his mother is a son that causeth shame and bringeth reproach. Hear my son, cease my son to hear the instruction that causeth to err from the words of knowledge. An ungodly witness scorneth judgment, and the mouth of the wicked devoureth iniquity. Judgments are prepared for the scorners, and stripes for the back of fools. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before you. We come before this passage of Scripture. Lord, we pray that we would benefit from it. Help us to be willing to receive instruction, to receive reproof, so that we might lay up more wisdom, more knowledge. Lord, again, we just pray for that you'd be with our various members of our church family, that you keep them safe during these fires, and pray for the Morgans out there, and I just pray that you keep them safe. And Lord, I believe some might even be involved in some of the firefighting. We just pray that you keep them safe. Lord, we ask that you just speak to us now through your word in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. May be seated. So we pick up this passage here. It's smite a scorner, that the simple may beware. I don't know about you, but I sometimes long for the days when we had a little bit more in the way of corporal punishment. You see so much in the way of people, chronic thieves and people that are still over and over and over, they're doing the same crimes. You know, I've been disturbed in the news recently to hear about some people, that one individual in particular, I won't go into his crimes, but he commits a crime and he gets put in prison, and it's a grievous crime, and then he gets back out and he does it again, something similar. And I wish that we did have more in the way of corporal punishment, that there was public floggings like there used to be in the old days. Now, of course, that being said, we're not to take justice into our own hands. We're not to say, well, that's what it says in the Bible, so let's do it. No, we leave that with the government. That's their prerogative. If they do not uphold justice the way they ought to, then they'll be responsible, not us. That is their job. So we got this verse here, 25. Smite a scorner, and the simple will beware. Reprove one that hath understanding, he will understand knowledge. I kind of coupled it with the last verse as well, verse 29. Judgments are prepared for scorners, and stripes for the back of fools. So again, this concept of corporal punishment. Smite a scorner, and the simple will beware. So in Bible times, scorners, petty criminals, were smitten. They would be either whipped or caned with a rod, so that others would take notice and avoid such contact or conduct, that they would not follow in those same footsteps. Of course, there's still going to be wrongdoers, people that will think, well, no one's watching, I'll do this, I'll steal this, I'll whatever is going to happen. But it will rapidly diminish the amount of wrongdoing. Notice that next phrase in verse 25, reprove one that hath understanding, and he will understand knowledge. One of the character traits of a wise person is that they will take reproof. They will not bristle. They will not get angry. They will not become offended. They will not have a million excuses. They will not have a million explanations. They will sit, they will listen, and then they will take it before the Lord. And they'll say, Lord, is this true? Is this right? Am I in sin here? And Lord, if I am, show me, teach me, forgive me, help me make it right. Having the ability to take reproof is a sign of humility. If we're not willing to take reproof, that, on the other hand, is the contrary. It's a sign of pride. That we believe that we know everything, that we have a justified reason for what we did. Sign of pride. Let's take a look at Proverbs chapter 9, verse 9, please. Proverbs 9, 9. And receiving reproof is never fun. To hear someone say, well, from what I can tell, you've made a mistake here, or you've wronged this person, or whatever the case might be, it hurts. But the intent, if it's done right, if that person has the right motives, it should help us. And even when a person does not have the right motives, it should also help us. I've been helped by people that have had an agenda. They've not been godly people, and yet they've said something, they've done something that has brought me reproof, and I've learned something from it, even if they were not pure in their motives. So Proverbs chapter 9, verse 9. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. So give instruction to a wise man. Wise men, wise women, need to be willing to receive instruction. Because they will become, as we see in Proverbs 9, 9, yet wiser. And sometimes the Lord can use even a child to reprove somebody. I think of a case once I heard of an evangelist years ago, and he was a Sunday school teacher some years prior to being an evangelist, and in his Sunday school class, he heard one of his students saying to his mom, the student's mother, well, Mr. Markham gets to watch that on TV, how come I can't? And that was a word of reproof to him. Not only did he stop watching that, he threw his TV away. Because that word there, you know, that child was not allowed to watch that, whatever show it was. And when that child said to his mother, well, Mr. Markham, the teacher, he gets to watch, how come I can't? That was a word of reproof to that Sunday school teacher. And he learned from it. He didn't just bristle and say, well, I should be allowed to do that. He actually, the Lord, I guess, used that on his heart to evaluate whatever it was that he was watching, and he got rid of it. Let's take a look at Proverbs 15, verse 5. It's easier sometimes to give reproof than it is to take reproof, isn't it? Not that giving reproof is ever fun. It's not. But what I'm saying is that taking reproof can be a very difficult thing. Proverbs 15, verse 5. A fool despiseth his father's instruction, but he that regardeth reproof is prudent. To regard reproof. It's not only just to let it go in one ear and out the other ear, it's to actually capture it and learn from it and benefit from it and use it. And that person is prudent. It's a form of wisdom. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 10. A reproof entereth more into a wise man than 100 stripes into a fool. That wise person, they will let that that word of reproof come into their heart. And it will be more beneficial than 100 rods, 100 stripes to the back of the fool. Not saying in those days that it would have been wrong to have used corporal punishment, but his point is there that the wise person will heed the instruction. Hebrews speaks about chastisement from the Lord. Also Revelation 3:19 says, "As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent." So we think about rebuke from the Lord. It's one thing to receive rebuke from fellow believers, or in some cases, unbelievers. When the unbelievers know how a Christian ought to live, and when we diverge from the path of the way that we ought to live, they'll be quick to point it out. And that can be a form of reproof to us. But think of the Holy Spirit when he convicts us. So as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. So when we think about being chastened, remember, as many as I love. That's a sign of love, that God would chasten us. He says, be zealous, therefore, and repent. Don't be hard-hearted. Don't be stiff-necked. But quickly, fervently, repent. Let's go back into our text now. So smite a scorner, and the simple will beware. Reprove one that hath understanding, and he will understand knowledge. He will gain from it. Verse 26, he that wasteth his father and chaseth away his mother is a son that causeth shame and bringeth reproach. You know, godly parents have a burden for their children. They want to see their children walk in the light. When their children start to go on the wrong path, it causes sorrow to their heart. They are grieved. Not in a sorrow in a angry sort of way, but a hole in their heart as they look at that child and they say, I know exactly why they're doing this. Maybe I experienced the same thing when I was their age, and I know where that led me to. And it's going to bring sorrow and misery. So many people talk in glowing terms about the school of hard knocks. It's not a school that we want our children to have to go through. I mean, there are times when parents do everything in their power to raise a child right. And yet, in the end of the day, as that child grows into an adult, they still choose the wrong path. And there becomes a day when the parent just has to stand back and sorrowfully pray for them as they go down that path to the school of hard knocks. And that parent goes, I know exactly where this is going to take them. I know exactly. I've warned them. They've not heeded my warnings. And I think a lot of it goes back to parents needing to captivate the hearts of their children, to show their children that they truly love them. And when they have that bond of love, it's going to be so hard for that child to break away and go into sin. It wasteth a father. It physically, emotionally injures them. Let's take a look at the alternatives. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 1. This verse has the good and the bad. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 1. The Proverbs of Solomon, a wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother. A foolish son, a foolish daughter. Same concept. So a wise son or a wise daughter maketh a glad father. Now, of course, this is a father that actually cares. or a mother that cares. There are too many that really, they don't care. I was talking to someone recently, I can't remember who it was, but I just had a TELUS person coming and doing something with our internet, and he was talking about his wife is a teacher, and how parents now expect teachers to give their children life lessons. That's our duty as parents, to give our children life lessons, to prepare them for life. That's our duty. And the parents are standing further and further back and saying, oh, I'll let the professionals deal with this. But a wise father or mother is invested in their children. And they'll be glad when they have a wise son or a wise daughter. But we see the alternative in Proverbs 10:1. But a foolish son is a heaviness to his mother. Is the heaviness of his mother. It causes her grief. She's bowed down, particularly emotionally. Let's take a look at another verse here. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 25. Proverbs 17, 25. A foolish son is a grief to his father and bitterness to her that bare him. So a foolish son is a grief to his father. It causes him grief. You know, we experience a certain degree of grief when someone passes. And you think about a father or mother as they view their foolish child, and there's a grief that they are not what they should be. Notice also there in the second half of 17:25, bitterness to her that bare him. Think of all the, you mothers know what it's like to bear a child. It's not an easy experience. All the 9 months of carrying that child, and then the labor, and then the sleepless nights, and the colds and flus, and all that goes along with it. And at the end of the day, to look at that child that you've spent hours and hours of time invested into, turning away and pursuing foolishness, it's a bitterness to her as she thinks about all the time she's invested in that child. Proverbs 23, verses 22 through 25. Proverbs 23, 22 through 25. Hearken unto thy father that begat thee, and despise not thy mother when she is old. Buy the truth and sell it not. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding. The father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice, and he that begetteth a wise child shall have joy of him. Thy father and thy mother shall be glad, and she that bare thee shall rejoice. My son, give me thine heart, and let thine eyes observe my ways. That's the key right there. It's the child giving their heart to their parents, where they say, okay, I'm going to trust you. During our morning worship service, one of the verses we're going to look at is how Christ handed over the care of his well-being to his father. Even though he was God, 100% God, and yet he handed over to his life to his father. He trusted in his father. And as for our children, our goal should be that they completely trust us, that they give us their well-being, and they say, okay, raise me in such a way that you see fit, and I will trust that you have my best interests at heart, ultimately God's best interests. So we see the positive side here, that the father of the righteous, the mother of the righteous, will greatly rejoice. I hope and pray that each of our families in this church will be able to raise a godly seed, that none of our children will fall from the truth, will pursue the wrong path, will fall into sin or iniquity. It happens too often. I pray for each of the families in our church, each child by name. We do that as a family. And I do hope and pray that every child here will turn into godly young men and women that will serve the Lord. Proverbs 30, verse 11, there is a generation that curseth their father and doth not bless their mother. Proverbs 30, verse 17, the eye that mocketh at his father and despiseth to obey his mother, the ravens of the valley shall pick it out, and the young eagles shall eat it. It's pretty descriptive, and it may not be might not happen in that sort of way, but the general point there being is that the person that mocks their father or despises their mother will come to ruin. Think of the opposite. Proverbs 31:28, about the virtuous woman. Her children arise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praiseth her. That's what we want to see. We want to see children giving honor and reverence to their parents. That ought to be the goal. Not to feather our own ego, but that our children would follow in our footsteps. Let's go back into our text. Proverbs 19. Now verse 27. Cease, my son, to hear the instruction that causeth to err from the words of knowledge. I was talking with Brother Jeremy just a couple days ago. He was telling me about someone that did not want to hear what the Bible had to say. A couple different people, in fact. And, you know, one of them was basically like, just put the Bible away. You know, this is what I believe. Well, but that's not actually true. That's not actually in line with the Bible. Well, I don't care, sort of attitude. We are supposed to cease to hear instruction that causeth to err from the words of knowledge. If it goes against Scripture, we don't listen to it. We don't take heed to it. Let's take a look at Proverbs chapter 14, verse 7. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 7. Go from the presence of a foolish man when thou perceivest not in him the lips of knowledge. So when you perceive that he or she does not have the lips of knowledge, go from their presence. Don't hearken. Don't listen to what they have to say. Maybe the Lord will use you to witness to that person, but don't listen to what they have to say. Don't lay it up. Don't acknowledge it as truth. When you think about the internet, there's so many half-truths posted out there. I look at some of these different memes and sayings that people post or stories that they post, and the story sounds very interesting and intriguing, and oh wow, look at God's hand there. You do a little bit of research into it, and there's no truth to it. Someone just made it up in their own mind, and it sounded kind of cool, and then it goes viral. Let's be sure that we know the truth. We stick with the truth, and that we go from the presence of the foolish man when we perceive not in him the lips of knowledge. Deuteronomy chapter 13 talks about the prophet that prophesies falsehood. Deuteronomy 13, 1 through 4. If there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and giveth thee a sign or a wonder, and the sign or the wonder come to pass, Whereof he spake unto thee, saying, Let us go after other gods, which thou hast not known, and let us serve them. Thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet, or the dreamer of dreams. For the Lord your God proveth you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. Ye shall walk after the Lord your God, and fear him, and keep his commandments, and obey his voice, and ye shall serve him and cleave unto him. Isn't that interesting? In verse 3, that he says there, For the Lord your God proveth you to know whether ye love the Lord your God. The Lord will allow some of those false voices to be heard so that he can prove us, try us and test us to see, are we going to follow those false doctrines? Or are we going to say, no, that doesn't line up with Scripture. No, I'm not following that. He uses those false voices to prove us, to test us. You know, it's similar in the military or in emergency services where they'll sometimes do a test run of something to see the response of the ambulance service. I remember as a 19-year-old once getting involved in a mock casualty. MCI, where there's multiple people injured on a school bus, and I was, a student in this bus rollover, and they put makeup on me and everything else, and I was told what to say and how to breathe and all that kind of thing, and they would test the response of the ambulance crew that came and responded to the scene there. I've been involved in others as a paramedic later on, and God, he does these things where he tests us to see, okay, are they going to use their protocols? Just like in the ambulance field, we got to use our protocols. We can't just throw everything out the window. We use the protocols, and when it comes to the Word of God, we use His protocols. Just kind of off topic. Something that interests me with during D-Day, the Germans were actually, that very day that they're doing D-Day, the Germans in one area were doing a mock run of imagining what it would be like for the Americans to actually do an invasion. And so the real invasion was on, and they're doing their own mock one, and they got a little confused. Is this the real thing, or is this... Is this the mock disaster or the mock invasion? But anyway, God uses those voices to test us, to see whether or not we will respond the right way. Matthew 7:15 says, Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. I'll take a look also in Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Verses 11 through 14. And it gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we be henceforth no more children tossed to and fro and carried with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men, and cunning craftiness, wherein they lie in wait to deceive. So there are people out there that will attempt to deceive us. And so we're given the structure of the local church to aid in protect us from being driven with the wind, tossed to and fro, not to listen to those words of doctrine when we find that they are against Scripture. 1 Timothy 6, 1 through 5, Let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and his doctrines be not blasphemed. And they that have believing masters, let them not despise them because they are brethren, but rather do them service because they are faithful and beloved, partakers of the benefit. These things teach and exhort. If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but is doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. From such withdraw thyself. We're not supposed to listen to those words. You know, the answer is 1 John 4:1. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. God says he tries us. We also have to try the spirits. We have to prove the spirits. We have to say, okay, so you said this. Well, let's take a look what the Bible says. Wait a second. You say that you have to be baptized as a baby in order to get to heaven? Well, actually, no. That's not what the Bible says. You know, in various whatever doctrine it is, right? You prove the Spirit, and it ought to be based on the Word of God. Don't have your Bible up on a shelf while you're discussing this. No, pull the Bible out and say, okay, well, let's just find out what the Bible says. Final authority. Let's find out what the final authority says. I mean, and we live in such a day and age that we have so many tools at our fingertips. You know, maybe you know of a verse and you're like, oh, what is that verse? And you go to Google and you can find it a lot quicker. Or maybe to your Bible program. If you've got a Bible app on your phone or on your computer, and you can find that verse. We have so many tools. Not, of course, not to diminish the memorization of God's Word. Not to say, well, I can relax on meditating God's Word. I can find it other ways. But as long as we lay up Scripture in our heart, the Holy Spirit will remind us. When we hear those false doctrines, we'll say, that doesn't sound right. Let's see what the Bible says. Who cares what guru, you know, Jones out there, or whatever his name is, believes? Let's find out what the Bible says. Let's just let this be our final word in the Testament. The last verse of Proverbs 19:28 is, an ungodly witness scorneth judgment, and the mouth of the wicked devoureth iniquity. So the ungodly witness scorneth judgment. They have no interest in the outcome being based on the truth. They will lie. They will give false testimony if it will swing the case towards what they want. They're not looking for justice. Think about the woman that claimed that baby was hers and really it was the other mother. You remember the story of the two women that came before Solomon? She had no interest in justice. She, you know, at the end of it, she says, yeah, sure. Slay that baby in half. I'll take half and she can take half. And the real mother's like, no. Fine, let her have that. Don't kill the baby. The one mother, no interest in justice. Like a Jezebel who caused the elders of Jezreel to raise up an accusation against Naboth so that she could get his vineyard for her husband. And they killed an innocent man. They were too afraid of her and her power to say, no, this is wrong. We will not do this. The mouth of the wicked devoureth iniquity. So just like a hungry or a thirsty person that devours food, the mouth of the wicked devoureth iniquity. They lay it up to themselves. They eat it up. Okay, well, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this passage of Scripture, and Lord, we pray that we would profit from it. Lord, that we would accept reproof when reproof is given, that we would become more wise. We would lay up wisdom. Help us to accept it, and Lord, at times, if it's your will, help us to give reproof, but we would speak the truth in love. Lord, we just pray that you would go before us now into our morning worship service, that you would speak to our hearts and draw us close to you and each other. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.